The Spectator is searching for the UK's brightest entrepreneurs to enter the Spectator Economic Innovator of the Year Awards, in partnership with Charles Stanley Wealth Managers. If you have a business that disrupts an existing market, a smart new way of doing things, or something that has incredible social impact, then apply by the 9th of July at spectator.co.uk/innovator.
Hello and welcome to Coffee House Shots, the Spectator's daily and sometimes more than daily politics podcast. I'm Katie Balls and I'm joined by James Forsyth, and we just heard from the Prime Minister about his plans for the grand reopening, and here's what he had to say.
I want to stress from the outset that this pandemic is far from over. It certainly won't be over by the 19th. As we predicted in the roadmap in February, we're seeing cases rise fairly rapidly. There could be 50,000 cases detected per day by the 19th. And again, as we predicted, we're seeing rising hospital admissions, and we must reconcile ourselves, sadly, to more deaths from COVID.
James, it was a slightly strange experience watching this press conference, because what the Prime Minister is saying in terms of lifting legal restrictions, where it's opening all businesses that haven't been able to open, the cap on all gatherings going, an end to face masks being mandatory in lots of places, including public transport, does sound like a big bang reopening, yet he sounded very cautious. What was going on?
Yeah, I think many people thought that the day when nearly all the COVID legal restrictions were swept away would be kind of victory over Corona Day, with kind of great declarations that people should, you know, go forth and enjoy these newfound freedoms, etc., etc. What it actually today was a very different tone. It was a warning that cases might reach 50,000 a day, that measures were being held in reserve if things look different this winter. And I think it is because, essentially, the Delta variant has changed the calculus. But I think there also is a view in government that, you know, as Boris Johnson at one point essentially said, if not now, when? If you were to delay again, you would risk the exit wave coinciding with the start of the school term in September, which would disrupt yet another academic year of teaching. And equally, if you were to kind of go even longer, you would run into the whole issue of the winter, when you obviously is not when you want to be lifting restrictions. So the government is essentially taking the calculation that the vaccine wall can hold even this more transmissible version of COVID, can keep hospitalizations down to such a level that you do not risk the NHS being overwhelmed. That is essentially the calculation that lies behind this reopening. And I think that what is also, I think lots of people thought that when these restrictions went, it would be a relatively risk-free moment. I think this is undoubtedly, in political terms, a gamble. Keir Starmer has already said, well, look, you know, he would like to see more data before he decides whether to back this decision or not. I think masks is becoming controversial. I think it did seem that the legal requirement to wear masks is going. And initially, the kind of rhetoric from government ministers was a kind of rip your masks off, no need to wear them anymore. You instead at this press conference had Boris Johnson saying that he would still wear masks in crowded indoor places. You've had Sajid Javid explicitly saying in the House of Commons just now that he still thinks that, you know, that they might be, they would be sensible to wear on a crowded tube train. And I think that, you know, there was a lot of talk this morning about whether there would be kind of government pushback if Sadiq Khan tried to insist that people carry on wearing masks on the tube. I really don't think there would be. And I think that goes for, you know, Andy Burnham and the trams and the buses in Manchester. I think essentially the government is making it quite clear that if transport providers or retail outlets want to insist on masks, there's going to be no kind of criticism from the government of them for that.
Yes, it does feel as though the government is changing its positions on masks by the hour. Boris Johnson saying he'd avoid it in crowded places, but also giving an example on public transport that if you were riding in rush hour on a tube, the implication being it would be basic manners to wear a face mask. But if you're in an empty-ish carriage on a train in the evening, then it's acceptable not to. So it feels that when the rules are going, they're being replaced by a system where it's perhaps more judgment from other people, which is going to dictate what people can do.
Yeah, I think if we'd had this conversation a week ago, 10 days ago, we would have thought that there would be lots of shots on July the 20th of ministers doing things, not wearing masks. I suspect we might be heading into the opposite situation, where on July the 20th, there are lots of pictures of ministers still kind of conspicuously choosing to put on a mask before entering a crowded place to try and send a message about, you know, what would be responsible behaviour. And I think one of the things is, you know, there's lots of talk today about common sense. And obviously, if you don't believe in the state dictating every aspect of life, this emphasis on people using their own judgment is welcome. But I think one of the things that needs to be done is to stress that common sense in this instance is different from returning to a status quo ante. It's clearly still a preferable to be doing your socialising outside rather than inside, even if it's not legally required anymore. And it's obviously still sensible if you're inside to open a window and things like that. And I think the kind of challenge for the government is to communicate these messages. But I also think one of the other challenges for the government is anyone walking around can see that the restrictions are chafing on people more than before. And I think the idea of trying to tell lots of double vaccinated people that they should stay at home for 10 days and not leave their house because they might have had some contact with someone who's had COVID, that is running out of road. I think the question for the government is, not only can hospital capacity cope with the increase in number of people coming in, but also can they sort things like what the isolation policy should be for the double vaccinated, what the travel policy should be for the double vaccinated. And crucially, they talked today about reducing the gap for everyone for their second vaccine from 12 to 8 weeks. Can they hit that target of having double vaccinated everyone in the country by mid-September, which would crucially mean that there would be absolutely no reason and very little risk in universities returning to on-campus, in-person teaching come the autumn.
Let's talk about the autumn, James, because one of the things we've often heard about with this roadmap is that it's irreversible. There is only one direction it's going in. That's why we delayed it 4 weeks, because they had to make sure it wouldn't be something they would have to go back on. Yet, listening to what Boris Johnson was saying, and particularly what Chris Whitty and Patrick Vallance were saying, I didn't leave the impression that this was an irreversible roadmap. What did you make of it?
I thought it was very telling. And that unless I'm mistaken, I don't think Boris Johnson said irreversible at any point in that press conference. And I think the question is, what is going to happen this winter? And I think anyone who makes kind of predictions or firm promises about what's going to happen 6 months down the line with COVID is running a risk. You've already seen in Israel that the government have had to reintroduce some mask restrictions to try and deal with the rising cases there. And I think, as we've talked about before in this podcast, in some ways, July the 19th is the easy bit. This winter is much trickier as you get that interaction between COVID and flu. And I think that you also are going to see a row over booster shots. You've seen today the head of the Oxford Vaccine Task Force, Andrew Pollard, saying that, ethically and morally, and arguing, making the scientific case as well, it would be better for rich countries to send their vaccines abroad to try and help raise the global level of vaccination rather than concentrating on giving booster shots to their own population. I mean, but I don't think there's anything that will move a government from the aim of trying to give both a COVID booster shot and a flu shot to everyone over 50 this autumn. And so I think the big question is, what happens in the winter? And can you get through the winter without the reintroduction of any restrictions? Chris Whitty has previously suggested the restrictions would be relatively mild, like, mask wearing again. Chris Whitty, who keeps talking about how difficult this winter might be for the NHS, does, to my mind, sound slightly more downbeat and how he thinks there might be something more needed than that. But I think Boris Johnson would find that very difficult politically to come back and say, oh yeah, and we've now got to go through all this again.
And it was interesting on that, James, because while he would find it very difficult, there was a flick to it in what Boris Johnson was saying in his statement. He said, last, we will continue to monitor the data and retain contingency measures to help manage the virus during higher risk periods such as the winter. Do you think that means a return to restrictions that the government is about to get rid of if things go to plan later this month?
Yeah, I don't think it necessarily means that. But I think it means that he wants to create the space for himself if he has to do that, so it doesn't look like a kind of screeching U-turn. And again, the kind of big question is, how low intervention do those restrictions have to be? I mean, I think there'll be a minimal political price if we get to November and masks come back on public transport until February. I don't think that's going to lead to a massive kind of cratering of public support. But I think if you get back to a situation where pubs and restaurants have to reintroduce the 1 meter rule, which would send a lot of them to the wall, I think that would be a much, much more difficult political sell.
Now, there may have been another reason that Boris Johnson decided to try and sound so cautious in announcing his plans for what has been dubbed Freedom Day, though not words we heard from the Prime Minister, and that is public reaction. There's been a few polls today. There's been a YouGov poll which says the majority, that's 71% of those surveyed, say face masks should continue to be mandatory in both public transport beyond the lifting of restrictions. And also 66% saying they should be mandatory in shops and some enclosed spaces. So do you think that's weighing on the government's mind? Because we've also seen Keir Starmer come out after that statement and say that Boris Johnson is not being led by data and is playing to his party.
Yeah, look, I think obviously getting rid of masks carries with some political risk. And I think that for the reasons, as we were discussing earlier in the podcast, I think that's why you'll try and see the government suggest that while they're getting rid of the legal requirement to wear masks, they would still expect people to wear masks in quite a few settings. And I suspect that, you know, if the case numbers are anywhere near where we expect them to be on July the 19th, there will be a kind of conscious effort by the government to suggest that, to show by actions that that is what they support. So there are kind of lots of photo ops of ministers looking around, seeing how busy a place is and deciding whether or not to put a mask on or not. So I think that is clearly where it is. And also a reminder that the public have throughout this pandemic been fairly cautious in their approach to restrictions. If we transport ourselves back to February last year, and you said that for most of the next 18 months, people would be living under some set of restrictions and then telling them what they are, we would have thought that the public would never have worn that and that the government's approval rating at the end of that process would have been down at kind of 20%. And yet public support has been sustained for much longer than anyone would have expected, I think.
Thank you, James. And thank you for listening. We'll be back tomorrow with the fallout from that announcement.